Hey everyone, I need your attention for 1 minute. This is not one of those ads. This is something that has changed my entire life. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that this is all about personal development as the foundation for everything good in your life. And this podcast is now sponsored by Growth Day, which is the world's first all-in-one personal development app. I mean, oh my gosh, can you imagine having everything all in one place that you need to create the life that you want? Now you can. So if you've been struggling with your motivation, your mood, your productivity, or your purpose, you have to check this out. Growth Day helps you consciously change your life and achieve your potential. It has all the self-improvement tools, motivational classes, and life coaching all in one place. So many of us want to improve our lives, but the question is how? Where do we start? What do we use? How do you get unstuck? How do you make self-improvement stick? Well, research shows how. It's when you consistently journal, track your habits, set goals, learn from empowering mentors, and challenge yourself that you'll be happier, healthier, and more successful. But let me ask you something. Where do you actually do all of your personal development work? I have to tell you that over 300,000 people use Growth Day for a reason. It works. It's the world's number one software for self-improvement. Growth Day has an amazing mindset journal that I absolutely love, a habit tracker, and a goal setting system. In fact, I bet if you went to my stories this week, you probably saw me using the journaling app and telling you to do it too, because it's the first time that journaling has ever actually stuck consistently in my life because of this app. And best of all, Growth Day has live inspirational classes every single week from the world's top motivational speakers and life coaches. These are people who have impacted my life in huge ways. These are mentors who I already knew and loved. In fact, this is something that's so huge for me, you guys. I personally teach a class in Growth Day every single month, and it is one of the most fun things that I get to do, and I'd love to see you there. These classes will truly shift your life. There's always something new that you will learn. So join me and 300,000 achievers growing our lives with actual real intention. Visit growthday.com/Lori for a free trial. Yes, you can try this for free. So go to growthday.com/Lori and go live your best life. You guys, that's growthday.com/Lori. And I can't wait to see you there.
I must make mistakes and fumble my way to get better. It's just feedback, it's information. Success was something I wanted. Now I wanted it from an unhealthy place, to prove people wrong, to look good, to feel like I was deserving and worthy. But when I would accomplish it, it didn't make me have that feeling. I still didn't feel like it was good enough. I would still beat myself up. So I would go for more success and more success. And it wasn't giving me what I wanted to feel.
Welcome back. How's it going? How's it going on your side of the world? This is a really special episode today. You guys, I am joined by my husband, Chris Harder, and we jumped on an airplane to fly to Los Angeles to go interview our good friend and mentor, Lewis Howes. You guys, he has been on this journey with us for quite a few years and really seen us through a lot of our business growth in some of the early phases. So it was really great to catch up with him, spend the day with him, and then sit down in the School of Greatness studios, which was so freaking cool, and give him an interview, turn the tables on him. So Lewis Howes is a New York Times bestselling author of The School of Greatness and The Mask of Masculinity. He's a lifestyle entrepreneur, a high-performance business coach, and keynote speaker. He's a former professional football player and two-sport All-American. You guys, this human is not only just amazing, but he is one of the best connectors that I have ever met, and he has a heart of gold, such a heart of service. And he has a new book coming out called The Greatness Mindset: Unlock the Power of Your Mind and Live Your Best Life Today. We talk about so many different things in this podcast having to do with business, with family, with relationships, with how he's overcome a lot of his mindset struggles. And I just gleaned so much from this interview, and I may or may not have cried, which I did cry. So I think you're going to love it. Let's get started.
We are so excited to be here. To everybody listening, we are sitting in the School of Greatness Studios, which is so exciting. Like, this is a big moment for us.
This is an epic studio.
It's fun.
Like, this is incredible.
And we get to flip this on you today. You guys are grateful. Listening to the Earn Your Happy podcast and also the Chris Harder Show. I'm sitting here with my husband and Lewis Howes in his amazing studio. This is so much fun because normally I'm listening to you on my runs or in my workouts. So now we get to ask him all the questions today.
I'm very grateful for both of you.
Okay, so we're going to open with that because you're one of the people who taught us so much about gratitude, Lewis. Mm-hmm. So we want to tell you what we're grateful for about you first. And you have been one of the people who, first of all, created a container, created your mastermind that totally rocked our worlds and changed our life. Mm. We've met so many of the people that are close friends with us now or things that have completely impacted our careers or, you know, just opportunities that you've introduced for us that have completely changed the trajectory of everything that we're doing. So that's one of the things, along with your podcast, along with just how generous you are with your connections. Mm. So we want to also know what three things you're grateful for right now, most grateful for, top of your head.
I'm grateful for you guys both being here and supporting me. It means a lot to me to see you guys. I appreciate it. I'm grateful for my health because this just feels good to be able to use my body at its full capacity. So I'm grateful for that because I know a lot of people don't have that capacity. And then I'm grateful for Martha. She's an amazing partner, teammate. And again, I've seen you guys be teammates for how long has it been now? 15?
18 years. It's wild. It goes like that.
18 years.
Team still going strong.
And I see what you guys are able to create and also overcome together because you're a great teammate. So I'm grateful for her as well.
I'm excited for you. This is fun to watch in a relationship that you're loving and watching you thrive. And you just seem to have so much inner peace that shows on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Very grateful.
It's just a great, after all these
and
years,
she's awesome.
Great to see.
She is.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
Just the second I met her, I was like, oh, that is a good energy. Like, that's good.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Lori was saying, you've been such an advocate for us. And of course, we're grateful for that. Who's been some of the biggest advocates for you along your journey?
Early in my journey, I had a few key mentors. One guy named Stuart Jenkins, who really helped me when my father went through an accident early on. He kind of guided me and pushed me towards like getting into LinkedIn and the business. Mm. And he's always been a great model of an older man who's married, got great kids and a healthy lifestyle. So he kind of gave me that model. He was early on. Another guy named Chris Hawker really inspired me early on, taught me a lot of different stuff. He was a mentor of mine for many years. And then another guy named Frank Agin, who helped me write my first book. He was my co-author of my first book. These guys gave me confidence. They gave me coaching, support. They showed up for me when I was struggling. And so I've always been grateful for them in being a service to me.
Yeah. You've always had such a powerful network, right? That's lifted you up and you've done the same for them. Mm-hmm. What's the key to building such an epic network? Because if we're being frank, you can probably call on anyone you want to call on now and be able to have them on the show or collaborate with them. What's the key to getting there?
Number one, making it about them and not about you. And I think you guys do a great job of that as well. You're always thinking about how you can help others. So when I started building my network, I didn't have anything to offer. So, but I was really curious about them. And I asked them, what do they need? How can I support? Who do they need in contact with? So I just became a connector early on because I couldn't give them the solution, but I knew others who could give them solutions. So making it about them and really being a great listener of their story. I think people love to tell their story. And so that's something I tried to do the best when I could early on. Another one would be, I just thought about how can I connect with people on a friend level, not from like a taking, wanting to get something level. How can I connect on a human friend level? And by doing that, they never felt like I was trying to get anything. So it's like building genuine relationships where you can call upon people in your network that you can rely on. So there's nothing wrong with having business relationships where it's like, okay, we are in partnership, we're gonna do deals together, but this is what it is. I've just always tried to be in friendship first and then try to support each other more authentically. So for me, that's how I do it.
Like that's something I learned from you early on, following that model of play the long game, don't have an attachment to any kind of reciprocation. And the funny thing is when you become detached from expecting anything, that's sometimes when some of the best things come through.
Yeah.
But it's how you got to show up.
You guys have both done this over the last, you know, what is it, 8-10 years or so. I've seen you guys do this in lots of different ways through your charitable efforts, through just your community you build,
through helping serve people and give people without expecting things in return. And I think that's why you guys do so well also, is because you're just givers and you build communities. And bringing people together, you know, some, like when you do your event, you may not make a lot of money doing your event, but you know the impact when you have all these women in one room and they bond and they overcome challenges and they do businesses together. They're always going to think about you, Lori, for bringing them together with your event and giving them that opportunity to shine. And I think, you know, I've never made money on my event. You guys have been there, but it's like some things that we can do that aren't for money, but you know it's going to make a big impact and be a catalyst for so many people's growth. And just know that's like kind of the long game. It's like you're investing in people. It's interesting with my team here. I tell them this a lot. Maybe I shouldn't say this to them, but a lot of them on my team, I say, hey, listen, whether you guys are here for another day or like 10 years, or you decide this isn't the right place for you, like you don't align with like the vision or the mission or the values, whatever, I want you to be successful in your life. And we want to give you tools while you're here. And that may be uncomfortable. We may push you in some ways, but we want to empower you to grow. And hopefully, you know, if you decide this is not the place for you, we want the best for you. And hopefully you'll look back on your time and be like, I learned this one thing. I got this good connection. I met someone on the team who I still work with today. And I think that's really all I can do is try to empower people to grow in their lives.
I wonder how many panic when he said, now you might be here one day.
Is he talking to me? Did he look at the camera at me?
Well, it's tough because you want to, you invest in people, you onboard people, you train people, you
move on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to communicate, hey, listen, I was just talking to one of my team today, Brian. I was like, listen, you know, Brian, I want you to be successful here for as long as you want to be here. But I also want you to have tools that if you go somewhere else at some point, you have tools for the next area of your life and you have tools for your personal relationships. Mm. You have courage, you have opportunities for every area of your life. That's what I want. And sometimes that doesn't mean you get what you want. Sometimes you invest in certain things and you don't get an immediate return on investment. And there's, again, but when you play the long game and you just care about people, good things tend to happen. So don't get walked all over from everyone and just give without anything, but it's being intentional about why you're giving.
And you do that so well.
What's something even in the last, let's just go the last like 2 years, something recent, maybe a belief that you used to have in your life that has drastically changed?
That I don't need people to like me, to like myself.
Freedom.
Yeah. I don't need people to like me or agree with me or to be okay with my decisions, where I used to want everyone to like me and therefore I would give in and abandon myself to make sure that they were taken care of. Or if I was overworked, I would just still move things around to try to help someone. Even tonight, you guys are going to dinner. I really want to go to dinner, but I'm like, I got to practice like taking care of myself because I know what I have the next couple of days. And it's not like this is a bad thing, but I would just try to go out of my way for people so frequently and extend myself too much, even when I was too extended. Even during the last couple of months, it's been interesting because 90% of the things I've done has been interviews for other people's shows. But I had a couple things scheduled in to come on my show just to make sure we don't get behind. And then other people had books coming out at the same time and they were trying to squeeze stuff in with me. And I was just like, gosh, I really want to help you right now. But I need to do this season for these next couple of months where we're just gonna have to wait and do it later. And I used to be really scared to say, no, I can't help you right now.
Why? What would you think would happen?
I didn't want to let people down. And I didn't want people to be upset with me or disappointed with me or frustrated with me. And I think I just wanted to be liked by everyone. And I wanted to be everyone to like me and rely on me or something like that. And now I just like myself, not in a narcissistic way, but I love and accept who I am, whether people are going to accept me for doing something or not. And that took a lot of healing. That took changing my mindset and my belief about who I was. And it took really overcoming the fear of judgment, which there's three main fears: failure, success, and judgment. And judgment was my biggest crippling mechanism, the fear of what other people think about me. And I know you were thinking, talking about this last month. And that was, I wasn't afraid of failure because I knew as an athlete, this was the path to success. And you make mistakes and that's part of the journey. The greatest, you know, baseball players fail 70% of the time, right? Michael Jordan missed 50% of his shots. Was he a failure or was he one of the greatest of all time? You know, because he missed half the time.
Yeah.
And so I understood that concept in sports that I must make mistakes and fumble my way to get better. It's just feedback. It's information. Success was something I wanted. Now, I wanted it from an unhealthy place, to prove people wrong, to look good, to feel like I was deserving and worthy. But when I would accomplish it, it didn't make me have that feeling. I still didn't feel like it was good enough. I would still beat myself up. So I would go for more success and more success. And it wasn't giving me what I wanted to feel. And it's because I was crippled by the fear of judgment. And at the center of all three of these fears is simple concept that I am not enough. Not pretty enough, talented enough, smart enough, funny enough, whatever it might be. And I didn't feel enough based on my opinions, what other people's opinions were of me. And so that made me go out of my way. It helped me in a lot of ways build great relationships. But then it was also crippling because I would overextend myself. I would abandon what I really wanted to do to make someone, to put them first, as opposed to creating the win-win in every situation and season of life. You know, it's like, okay, this is the season I'm in. I'm going to do my best, but sometimes I can't give everything. And learning to sit and be okay with my nervous system, dealing with the potential upset or disappointment of other people. And I didn't have that skill until the last couple of years. And so learning that skill through a healing journey, through releasing that fear and worry, and practicing it, like it keeps coming up, and I've got to keep stepping into it. Okay, is this a time to really serve and help someone, or am I abandoning myself by overextending right now?
So that's the marker, the decision maker. It's like, do I feel like I'm abandoning myself?
Do I feel like I'm abandoning myself and my mission? And so I make decisions based on a mission, which is to serve 100 million lives weekly, to help them improve the quality of their life. That means I want to give, I want to help people, I want to show up for people how I can. But if I'm doing, I don't know, 3 or 4 interviews in a day, I just know I can't give my best after that. So am I hurting myself by trying to give more? Or, you know, it's just being aware, okay, of how much am I giving today or at this time zone? Or can I make this trip? Or is it overextending myself? Maybe I can make it work, but I might be regretting it afterwards and resenting myself. So just being in tune to, why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I really want to show up? Or am I doing it because I'm afraid that if I don't do it, they're not going to like me.
So just final on the mindset part, because I want to know for anybody listening, because I think it sounds good, it feels good, we know we want it, but then the first time you do it and the second time you do it,
you're
like, it feels crazy. So I know you talk so much about mindset. Did you have like a specific mantra that you kind of were like, you clung to, or you would switch something, or what would you do after that?
I didn't have a mantra around that, but I did have an emotional coach that would guide me.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's wise to do anything alone that you're not yet good at. And I think once you master it, I still don't think it's wise to do it alone. You know, Kobe Bryant, when he won his first championship, he didn't say, thank you, coach, I'm good. Thanks for getting me here. I don't need a coach this next season. I'm going to go win the championship on my own.
Totally.
He actually invested in more coaches and got more support and feedback to help him to be a more dominant player. So for me, I don't think it's wise to do anything on your own when you haven't mastered it. And I think it's wise to continue to have support even when you're in a mastering journey of that thing to keep you sharp. So for me, I had an emotional coach, and I still have an emotional coach, that I would speak into and say, this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like in the last 6 months alone, I had so many people reach out to me that hadn't reached out to me in years to ask me for something.
Interesting. Why do you think all of a sudden?
I remember saying this 4 or 5 years ago. I went through a spiritual purging in my life after a previous breakup where I felt like, okay, I'm being judged in a world of people that are thinking something. And I remember feeling like, this doesn't feel good because I feel like I'm seeing nasty comments online. People are talking behind my back and people don't know what's really happening. Yeah. They're just hearing something and they're making their own interpretation. Yeah. So it feels unfair and unjust. But I remember talking to Robin Sharma at the same time. And he was like, this is perfect because everyone needs to go through a spiritual purging. And you've got to cleanse your ego constantly. And this is an opportunity for you to cleanse your ego, whether it's just or unjust, whether it's fair or unfair, whether it's correct or incorrect. Look at this as an opportunity for your ego to be cleansed, for you to dive deeper into your mission, and to have a spiritual purging of people that you don't need in your life anymore, that maybe you extended and gave too much of your time to too many people. Now these people are revealing themselves based on how they were using you. So now you're aware. And maybe it's time to reinvest into you and reinvest into like less relationships and really stop extending. So this is just an opportunity to like evaluate, not making anyone right or wrong, good or bad, but just evaluate what works for you, what's effective and what's useful in your life. And is this helping you with a mission that you're here to serve, or are you just worried about what people think about you? And so I remember this is, it was so funny because I remember being like, I take a lot of mental notes. So I remember what people do. Doesn't mean I'm not going to forgive, but I just remember and take note. Do I want these people in my life later if they're acting a certain way now? Again, it's not like I don't want
an evil scoreboard. It's just
I don't want harm on anyone. Awareness. I'm just like, okay, are they in alignment with what my mission is, or are they just trying to use me when it's convenient for them? So I took a lot of mental notes around this time. And I remember thinking, you know, in a few years, these people are going to start reaching out to me when they need something. And it just started happening one by one by one. It seems like in the last 6 months. And it took me facing it and be like, okay, the old me would want them to like me.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want them to like me, but would have me giving in to extend myself to give to them, to help them with what they want right now, without even them acknowledging what happened. So I used to want to do that just because I wanted everyone to like me. And now it's just like, okay, I either don't need to respond or I can just give a neutral, hey, it's not the right fit, or just no. And I did that for so many people in the last 6 months. Again, not to like get back at anyone. It wasn't I was being mean, but it was just like I wasn't abandoning myself.
It's to
anymore.
Get back to yourself. Yeah.
I wasn't abandoning who I so was. Good. And it didn't feel authentic to give in those ways after certain things had happened. And people that you guys know in the industry who are this way. So for me, and it's realizing, okay, can I still wish everyone all the success and love and harmony, but I don't need to have them in my life.
Yeah.
Giving me a lot more peace and energy and freedom to stay focused on my mission, which is about service, and focused on the people that are closest to me and giving them more energy and attention than maybe people that are kind of wishy-washy or you don't really know what their true intentions are. So
it's interesting as a fellow people pleaser or somebody that wants everyone to like them, right? This really resonates with me. I'm curious, what does the conversation sound like? So when these
with
are
myself,
people, well, no, out loud, but the person who says, hey man, I need you to be on your show, or I need you to do this for me.
Oh,
and
man.
The first time you have to not show up the way they expected
you to.
It's
like, well, it's an email. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. What does that conversation
sound like? Well, it's funny because there was a few people that would text me and say, and just assume that they would come on my show after like 5 years of not talking to me or something, right? And I just didn't respond. And this happened to many different people, and I just wouldn't respond. And then they would respond again a couple weeks later and again, and I just wouldn't respond. And then eventually I'd just say, hey, this is not the right fit, and I wish you the best. And this happened to someone that you guys know closely in our space, where they've just kept texting and texting and expecting and wanting more after years of not reaching out. And then I got on the phone with them because they had said, hey, can we just jump on a call? And so I got on the phone and I just said, you show up to me as very inauthentic.
Wow.
You show up to me as a taker and not a good friend. You keep saying you're a friend, but you're not. And here's why you haven't been. I wasn't rude. I wasn't yelling. I wasn't mean.
You're being honest. Mm-hmm.
I was having 100% authentic ownership of how I felt. And again, doing it from a conscious way. And at the end, this person actually thanked me. So thank you so much for being honest with me. And I was actually a really bad friend and I actually did some bad things to you. And I don't know why I did this, but I'm sorry. They tried to apologize and things like that. I just said, okay. And they're like, well, I really want to be your friend though. And I go, we're not friends. You have your life on a different part of the country. You have a family, you have kids, you're married. What are we to do? Talk on the weekends? Like, we're not friends. We haven't spoken in years. And you did things to me that weren't what a friend would do after I gave and gave and gave to you for years. And so for me, it's like just being real with people. It's not that I'm like, I wish you all the success. I don't want you to not be successful. Like, go win. Go win at everything. But it just doesn't work for me right now. Maybe it doesn't mean we're not going to be, you know, friendly in the future, but I have no intention of giving my, and I've got lots of friends. I've got lots of business relationships. I've got a lot of second tier friends. Like, I don't need to add more when they feel inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And before, I just wanted everyone to be my friend. And it's very freeing to be able to speak to someone honestly And again, I'm not trying to do it in a hurtful, harmful way. No. It's just 100% authentic ownership. This is how I feel. Yeah. You show up to me this way. And I wish you the best.
And you closed the loop.
Yeah.
Because that loop would have kept on being open. Chris and I are in that space right now. This was the first year that we sat down and we really said, who's on the long haul with us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm leaking energy and I can't live this way anymore.
And you can't accomplish what you want to accomplish when you're leaking energy everywhere, right? Yeah. So at some point, you got to plug the leaks.
Yeah. And I was talking to another one of our mutual friends where he was like, I'm not good at building relationships in terms of like putting myself out there and networking. He's like, it's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at my thing. But I understand the importance of partnerships in business. And so I hired a few people that what they do is they reach out to all potential partners. And we essentially say, we want to be in partnership with you. And it's a business partnership. We want something from you and we want to help you get something from us. So they know what it's all about. They have affiliates, they have sponsors, partners, where it's like, we're going to do stuff for you. You're going to do stuff for us. But when it's like people that start out as friends, and it just feels inauthentic to me if they say, hey, we're friends, but do this thing for me. So it's just learning how to navigate that. And I started my business being friends with people first and just wanted to elevate. So it's just learning how to navigate it a little more authentically.
Well, I really commend you for having that honest conversation and for taking it as far as saying, hey, we're not friends. Because I could see me maybe having an honest conversation, but then bowing at the end, saying, okay, well, we can work on it. I mean, you went all the way.
And it's not that I'm not going to, if I see this person in public, I'm not going to say hi and be friendly and say, how are you doing? Because I can be a human being.
Yeah.
But to act like we haven't spoken in years and you did some things that I didn't really jive with years ago, and now you want me to promote you, you want this, you want that, you're asking for all these things, that's not a friend thing to do. So for me, it's just like, yeah, we're not friends. And you have your life and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be your friend.
Mm. No, I think that's so important for people to hear in this. I actually was just in a room doing a live podcast last night and so many people were talking about like, they feel like they meet people or they even meet people at events or your event and we have to carry everyone with us like through the whole journey or everyone has to like everyone. And it's like, we're all just trying to navigate and find who our fits are.
Yes.
And you really only have time. I feel like we really only have time for like five
quality,
friends.
close friends. Yeah.
Yes.
And when you're in a partnership like you guys have, which is beautiful, you probably want to spend a lot of time with each other.
We do.
Like now that I'm with Martha, I just want to come hang out with her every night.
You know,
it's like, I want to spend my time where it's peaceful, where I feel accepted, where I feel seen, and we can elevate each other. And I'm like, okay, that's fun for me. I don't need to see people all the time and say yes to every meeting like I used to. And again, season at a time. When I have nothing, I'm going to say yes to everyone and try to like meet people. And then it's reclaiming my energy now so that I can focus on my mission.
Do you feel like you have a lot more energy? Like what are the bonuses?
Abundance of energy.
I was going to say, you actually feel like a different person.
I feel like I have an abundance of energy. I mean, listen, I'm doing multiple interviews a day right now. So it's like, I'm managing that.
Yeah.
But I feel overall, like I know moving in with someone, buying a home, making big investment purchases, launching a book, doing 3 to 4 interviews a day while managing a business and managing a team of 20 virtually in here with all their nuances of life and navigating all the emotions of those things together. 5-10 years ago, I'd be a mess right now.
Yeah.
But because I have a beautiful relationship and I have harmony in the relationship, I don't have moments of like, okay, this is, all right, this is a moment. I got to take a breath here. But I feel peace overall.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can navigate all these things. And I'm just like, it's all going to work out. You know, the house is going to come together. The investment's here. This, the team, it's going to work out. It's going to unfold how it needs to. And that gives me a lot of peace. But again, it's been a 10-year journey of like ups and downs, mistakes and lessons, and, you know, and improving and healing in order to get here now. And it just, it feels good. But I think the only way I'm able to do it is because I constantly do emotional coaching. I don't think I would be able to do it as effectively without having a continual support from my partner, but also a coach that just allows me to like get it out and just release and move on. So that's why I think it's wise to have support in these areas of life.
Hey y'all, if you didn't know, Earn Your Happy is now a part of the Growth Day Podcast Network. This is so exciting to me because I have been looking for a really good home for the show for I can't even tell you, years, literally. And now I've finally been able to come together and collaborate with other people who have incredible shows, and I want to share them with you. One of the shows is Motivation with Brendon Burchard. And you guys, if you don't know about the beginning of my career, I literally started with Brendon Burchard's work. It's how I launched one of my very first online courses and membership sites, was because he gives so much advice that you can integrate and implement immediately. And that's what you're going to get on the show. Not just motivation, but you're going to learn exactly how to get your stuff out in the world. And not just that, but Brendon runs in the most incredible group of humans who are really doing the thing out in the world that you want to be doing. So go check it out. Go subscribe to Motivation with Brendon Burchard. I promise you, this is going to be one of those shows that no matter when you tune in, you're going to get value. Like, it's not one of those that you're like, God, I listened for 30 minutes and I didn't get what I wanted. Like, from the beginning, you're going to get something that changes your life or changes your business. So go check it out. Motivation with Brendon Burchard. I know you're going to love it. I'm obsessed.
I want to switch modes just for a moment. You got a couple of big milestones that you just hit and they're coming up. You got a very special birthday coming up in a couple of weeks,
that's true,
right?
Yeah. And a birthday party, like, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm like, and you've got a School of Greatness just turned 10 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many people have you touched? Have you reached by now?
Well, I count like long form downloads or views of like 20 minutes or longer. And that's about 650 million downloads in 10 years. Yeah.
Wow.
But it took, but even the last year alone was 150 million downloads.
Wow.
So it's taken a while to like accelerate it, you know, 10 years.
People look at you and they'd say, he's done it all. Mm-hmm. He's got it all. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to aspire to be like Lewis. But I know we're always our own hardest critics. So now that you're turning, can I say it, 40?
Yeah, you can say it.
Now that you're turning 40 and you've done all this, right?
Hey,
I love my
40
so far. I love it so far. What are you most proud of? And then also, what is that one thing that you wish you would have accomplished by now?
I'm proud of being in a beautiful relationship, to be honest. That's the first thing that came to me, because I think for most of my life, that's what I was wanting, but I didn't know how to have a beautiful relationship with myself. Yeah. And so learning how to, again, healing is a journey, but learning how to heal certain parts of me that were very wounded emotionally and psychologically in intimacy. And seeing how far I've come, if I look back at my younger self would be proud of the extreme pain and suffering that I put myself through and overcame. And this is not to compare to other people's suffering and things like that, because we all have our challenges. But I used to beat myself up a lot internally. So to see myself be at peace with me and create a loving relationship, for me, is something I'm really proud of. Here's the interesting thing about this season of life. I'll give you context. When I finished this book, when I finished writing it, I remember feeling for the first time, not for the first time, but I remember feeling like I did everything I can that I wanted to put in this book, and I felt really proud of the product, right? I felt proud of it. I had a great writing partner. I felt like we really connected, and I was able to get the message out that I wanted to, that I was like, this is the book I wish I had at 16, 21, 30 for me.
Yeah.
This is the book I wish I had 2 years ago to help me with all the stuff I'm navigating.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm glad I have this for myself in 10 years at the next season or stage of life. You know, marriage, kids, more responsibilities, money, all these things, like how to navigate at these different levels. I know Lori loves the levels.
And, I do love a good level.
And I remember when I finished it and I like did all the editing process and everything, and like, I was like, okay, it is complete and I'm proud of this. Mm-hmm. I remember feeling like I'm proud of the finished product. Like, I gave it my best with where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And I set goals for results I want to hit, right? But I released them right away as like, even if it doesn't happen, I'm still proud.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because I said, I'm going to killer game plan that's going to set myself to do my best effort. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in the playoffs of the game of this book. I've got 6 months runway leading up to it, the strategy, the team. Like, we've got the game plan and now I'm going to execute. And as long as I give my best every day leading up to it, then I'm like releasing the results. And I can say it authentically to you, because before I couldn't have said it, where I'd be like, if I don't hit this, I'd be upset.
Right.
If I don't get this list or this many sales or this press, I would have been upset and disappointed and had kind of a, like an expectation hangover. Mm-hmm. Frustrated. I would have been angry.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, we'll see with the test once the book comes out.
That's a test of facing.
I got to face the results and see, like, okay, am I really still proud no matter what happens? And I believe in my core that I will be.
Yeah.
So again, I haven't faced it yet, but I believe that I've released it because I know in my heart and my mind, I'm giving everything I can while also taking care of my health and my relationship. Mm-hmm. And I don't want those things to suffer to try to get like a number or a result or and like burn myself out. Mm-hmm. That's not greatness to me. It's being in harmony inside of myself and making sure the people around me, closest to me, feel seen and loved in my playoff season so that I have the energy to go all out in what I need to do. And then I let go of the results. And it feels really empowering right now this season. But, you know, listen, when stakes are high and people are involved, like you want things to be a certain way, but I'm just learning to let go and knowing that all I can do is show up and give my best in every moment and be present with you right now and not thinking about the next thing. Like I'm here, I'm doing my best. I can be proud of that.
It's no small feat though, because I know that you internally are a really competitive guy, right? Mm-hmm. First it showed up in sports and then it shows up everything else. So to miss a milestone, to not win the championship game, metaphorically speaking, but I have in the book Crush It, for you to say, I know that I left everything on the field, and that's the part I'll be proud of.
Yes.
And the trophy would just be the icing on the cake.
Yep.
That's come a long way from who you used to be.
Yeah, I used to need to win, and I used to need to make sure that my goals came true. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you a couple of instances. I really wanted to go to the Olympics, and I'm not ruling it out, but I've kind of retired from handball because I haven't played in like 2.5 years.
Is there an age where you age out of handball?
I mean, most people stop in their late 20s, you know what I mean? So everyone on my team was 20 years younger than me, the USA national team.
The Tom Brady of handball.
Exactly right. But I practice like a couple times a year. They're practicing every day, right? So I just was able to kind of stay on the team as like the last man by getting by because of my skills as an athlete, because of my, you know, leadership, communication skills and things like that. And I could still play, but, you know, they had the advantage. You know, they're younger, stronger. They're practicing every day. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Anyways, I spent 8 years chasing a dream of trying to, I was on the USA national handball team for 8 years. I was traveling around the world. I was playing with all these other national teams, Olympic teams I was playing against in Brazil, Argentina, Israel, the UK, you know, Mexico, Canada, Uruguay, all these different places. And just because the dream didn't come true doesn't mean it wasn't a dream come true.
Mm.
The experience
that is so good
was a dream come true. The people I met, I got to you know, wear USA across my chest and sing the national anthem in front of, you know, thousands of people in Olympic type experiences, national teams, and playing against Olympians. Yeah. So I didn't go to the Olympics, but the journey of what I learned about myself was a dream come true. So the results were failed, but who I became was a success. So that was one instance. My last book, The Mask of Masculinity, I wanted it to be a New York Times bestseller. I thought it was a great book, and it is a great book, but it didn't hit the certain results that I wanted. And I remember feeling let down by it because I was like, man, this is a book that I felt like is really gonna help a lot of men heal. And just because it didn't get the results then, 5 years ago, what has come since then has blown my mind. Just last week, I got an email or a text from a friend of mine who does work with inmates, prisoners. And I've gone to a couple prisons with him to help men. And a year and a half ago during the pandemic, I did a live stream to all the inmates, the prisons, like their little TVs in their cells, talking about the mask of masculinity, how men can be more vulnerable. And I think when men learn to heal, the world heals, because a lot of men are the ones causing pain, the mass shootings, the harm, the domestic violence. It's because there's a wound they haven't yet healed, right? There's a wound inside that causes us to be angry, reactive, and do bad things, unlawful things. So I did this kind of speech and talked to, it went live in all the prisons, but I didn't know how many people were watching it, but it was live on all the channels. And I didn't hear anything for the last year and a half. I get a text message the other week from my friend who is supporting this. And he sends me a photo of a 6-page handwritten letter. And he just abbreviates the letter He said, this is from an inmate who's been in solitary confinement for the last 2 years. Solitary confinement is 23 hours a day in a cell.
For 2 years?
2 years. 1 hour a day outside by yourself, just getting fresh air, and the rest of the time in a cell. He said when he met him 2 years prior, he had a swastika tattooed to his chest, and he was in a white gang, right? He was protecting and defending himself, being a part of this. And now this is a guy that goes into prisons and works with murderers and rapists and people that cause a lot of harm and wants to help them transform and heal. So he's doing amazing work. And he said, when I asked him why he left the white gang, he said, I left the gang. He said, why? And he said, Lewis Howe's The Mask of Masculinity. He said, you had him on with this live stream. Afterwards, I got the book. I've read the book 4 times and I've dropped out of the gang and I'm starting to realize why I had certain behaviors that got me in here. And I'm starting to transform my life around. So getting that 6-page letter I have in the other room, for me, it's like just because the dream didn't come true doesn't mean it wasn't a dream come true from putting that out there and the impact it has on men suffering the most. And the same thing with this, you know, even if it doesn't hit a certain numbers or results or get all these accolades, I know for me, the experience has been powerful. I know that this has been just as healing and powerful for me as it will be for anyone that wants to read it at the right season and time of life. And for me, it's a dream come true, no matter what happens after this. So I didn't have that ability to see life that way years ago because I wanted to win and be competitive. Now, I've transitioned a lot in the last 10 years with that mindset, but I still had expectations. Yeah. And again, it doesn't mean I don't want things to happen a certain way, and I'm not trying to get certain results, but I'm learning to release them a lot better.
And no wonder you seem so at peace. I mean, because this is the, I've known you, what, maybe 8 years or so?
Yeah.
This is the best and happiest, most peaceful I've ever seen you be, right? And it's the most authentic, joyful feeling.
And we loved all versions.
Yeah,
of you.
We loved all versions.
All the best. All the best.
Because we all had ours.
Right, we all had ours. But I mean, he is so joyful and so at peace now. And it makes sense as you explain all of these viewpoints on how you've shifted some of this.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's still not challenging moments and days and you got to deal with stress and adversity. It's just, I'm doing my best to manage it differently. That's what I'm trying to do. So
I feel like everything you're saying is when someone really drops into their purpose, like you're actually enjoying the journey and it's not just the career, but we were just in a room where we heard the quote, what was it? It was those with the strongest home life take the biggest risks. And I just feel like it takes the pressure off of so much where I think, does
I mean,
it feel
take
more
the biggest
free?
Risks in life, you mean?
Yeah, take the biggest risks in life because you feel like you're...
I feel like I've got a lot of energy. I was just telling you guys before. I feel like it's, you know, renewable, sustainable energy. Mm-hmm. That's like clean energy. You know, it's not like I'm just trying to muster up momentum every day because I'm draining and dragged with relationships. So I feel really healthy there. But again, it starts with having a healthy relationship with myself. And that started 10 years ago by creating a new contract with myself, like a contract around my identity to me. Whereas I used to beat myself up. I used to get angry. When I would get triggered, I would respond with anger. That was my go-to emotion. And then when things wouldn't work out and I didn't know how to manage my emotions, I would sit in a ball in my apartment and just not be depressed, but be in a depressed state and just sit there for days. Eat ice cream all day or whatever, watch TV all day. I just didn't have the energy. So I wasn't as passionate. And then I used to always say this to myself growing up that I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'm never going to be smart enough. I used to say these things to myself. And it's funny because if we actually recorded our internal dialogue and played it on a loudspeaker in front
of them,
they put us in a mental institution, right?
Yeah.
And imagine saying that to your best friend or your spouse. What we say to ourselves, they want to be with you. They'd be like, get away from me. You're not a good friend.
Yeah.
You know? But we're not being a good friend to ourselves with these internal dialogues. So 10 years ago, I started a process of creating a new contract. And instead of saying, you know, I'm angry based on how I was reacting, I'm depressed and I'm not smart, which is how I was, what I was saying to myself and how I was responding, I said, I have a new contract. I'm a loving, passionate, wise man. And it couldn't be something that actually was false or fake. No. Because I was loving, I just also had anger in me. I was passionate. I was still a fun, happy guy, but I was wounded. So when I would get triggered, I would get more depressed. And I didn't know how to navigate it. And I remember because I used to say I was stupid, I'm not smart, all these things to myself all the time. So saying I am smart didn't resonate with me. Right. It would have been false.
Oh, yeah. I am wise. Totally.
But wisdom is something that. I felt like actually I am wise. I'm street smart.
Yep.
I understand people. I can do this. I can formulate an idea. I can create goals. I can accomplish these things. I've got some wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a new contract. You know, it's been a journey of stepping into and becoming that contract for myself. Mm-hmm. I wrote it down. I signed it. Yeah. This is who I am and who I'm becoming. And so it's been a process of using a lot of these strategies that work for me.
What's the best strategy in this book that people can use the same way that you use that strategy?
It's a loaded question.
There's there's a number of things around like creating a fear list, what I really think is powerful. I won't go into it right now because I think there's some really good exercise in there. But something that came up for me when you said that is that's on my heart right now. When I was going through this time, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, where Robin Sharma was like, this is a perfect thing for you to go through. It's a spiritual purge, right? Mm-hmm. You're letting go of ties that you no longer need, relationships that that are draining your energy, that's leaking energy. And he said, can you think back to a time where you went through a really painful time? And I was like, yeah, a lot of them. And he goes, just tell me one. I go, well, I mean, when I broke my wrist and I was devastated because I had this dream. And then, you know, I'm on my sister's couch for a year and a half trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And he goes, would you go back and change that? I go, no, because if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have been called to do this mission. Mm-hmm. And who knows where I'd be if I played football for 3 to 5 more years. Right. You know, maybe I'd get stuck in that thing and I wouldn't have been called here. Yeah. And so actually that season gave me like the drive and the curiosity to do what I'm doing now. It started this process. Without it, I wouldn't be here. And he goes, yeah, so just remember that this is going to be something that you need in the future. Mm-hmm. It's giving you what you need. And I started thinking, like, after I heard him say that, I go, you know, we hear hindsight's 2020. Mm-hmm. And I go, I just want to start having future hindsight now.
Yeah.
I want to put myself 10 years in the future and see myself 10 years from now and say, why did I need this today? And talk to my 10-year-old self and say, this is why you needed it. And start thinking from the future of why this is actually exactly happening in your life today. So what you went through the last couple of years, if you could think in the future to 33-year-old Lori and say, okay.
So sweet.
Wait, I wasn't supposed to laugh at that. Sorry.
Your 10-year-old's older self.
Yeah.
Who's actually having a conversation with you with all the wisdom you're going to have in 10 years, from all the experiences, you know, you being a mother, you being a leader and a CEO and all these things that you're going to be, and just speaking back and whispering, this is exactly why it's happening now. This is why you're going through this. It's all going to be okay.
That is super powerful because I can already see it with you saying that.
And just speaking to yourself from the future, as weird as that might sound.
No.
And I started doing that then. And I started doing that, you know, a couple of years ago when I went through a breakup. And I just remember being like, this is the most uncomfortable feeling right now. And I don't want to be in this.
Yeah.
This is happening for me if I can just have future hindsight now. If I can see in the future why I need this. And don't do it alone. Get support from others to be like, why do you think this is going to be helpful for me? It's hard to see when you're in it sometimes. So get support from your partner or a coach and say, well, maybe this is, you're learning the tools you need. It's going to give you more humility. You're going to be wiser for the future. You're going to save yourself years of headaches in the future. Whatever it is, there's probably lots of stuff in your past that was painful, that was tragic, but you want to change it.
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. Because it gave us a benefit too. So it's just having that mindfulness during the season of stress and pain that this is all supporting me for my future.
You have 4 steps in your book to help people change their mindset or get into the greatness mindset. Mm-hmm. Are you in one right now? Or is there one where you're like, this is the one, this is the place I'm really spending time on right now?
Well, I think it's, I think a lot of people don't celebrate when they're in the process.
Guilty.
You know what I mean? I was telling you guys before then, you know, I was on the cover of Success Magazine right now. And in the past, I would sometimes like diminish my accomplishments. Like you want something so bad, but then you're like, oh, okay, well, it's not enough or diminishing it. And I think there's a season of making sure every day being in celebration of how we show up today, but then also the big moments. So I'm allowing myself to celebrate because I feel like if we don't celebrate what we've created, we're not opening a door for more good things to come to us. Celebrate. It doesn't mean we need to like drag it on for like a whole year or something, but celebrate the moment. Take a moment to connect with your friend or loved one and celebrate yourself and say, you know, I acknowledge myself for showing up consistently. Take a moment, a dinner, and then you can move on or whatever it is. But most of us just kind of like move on quickly.
Right.
It's on to the next. I think really just take the time to celebrate. So for me, it's being in service constantly and constantly being in a celebration of life. You know, we had a friend of ours pass away recently. And if we don't learn to celebrate, then we miss out on a lot of stuff. We don't need, you know, and this last weekend, I was at a celebration of life for another friend who passed away. And if we don't celebrate the people in our life when they're here and when they're not here, then what's the point of it all? So something that I know you guys probably do this really well, but me and Martha, we celebrate each other every day. We look at each other in the eyes and we acknowledge each other for what we're grateful for in the other person. And it feels good. We're not like bragging on each other nonstop, but it's just an acknowledgement of life, acknowledgement of you being here and showing up. And for all the good, all the challenges you're overcoming. So I feel like if people can celebrate those things every day, it'll be a beautiful, beautiful thing for them.
It's interesting. So we start every morning with what we call the power nine, right? Three things we're grateful for, three things we're excited about for the day, and three things we want to manifest.
And you guys dance too, don't you, in the morning? Don't you do like a little like minute dance?
We did for a while.
We used to bring that back.
Where'd that go?
Bring that dance back.
I was going to say, many times what I'm grateful for is Lori, and I'll say it out loud verbally. But we don't look at each other.
I wake up every day.
We don't look at each other and speak that greatness into each other. That's a really cool tip.
You guys also do like a, I don't know if you still do, maybe you stop the dancing and everything else, but you still do the walk after dinner.
Walk in the morning 3 miles, walk in the evening 3 miles.
That's a lot of walking.
It is.
Man,
The two sheepadoodles demand it. So that helps a little bit too.
They demand it.
That helps a little bit too.
But that's an opener. That's a good question for you. Like, what are some openers that you have in your relationship now? Like containers that are insured that you're going to get your conversations out that you need?
I mean, we also have agreed to doing like joint coaching with a coach. So we do that, I don't know, whenever we need to, but it's usually once every like 4 to 6 weeks. We do it individually with ourselves, but we also do it together. Mm-hmm. So that allows for that space to have those conversations. But we're also always in the conversation. So we're never like waiting for something to be like, okay, now I'm going to talk about it. We're like, let's talk about this. Okay, let's talk about it more in therapy as well. And so that's really helpful. But again, we share three things we're grateful for every night. Yeah. And that is a beautiful way to complete the day.
Having those traditions, those containers, it's crucial.
I think it's beautiful. It's crucial. She also wakes up with a smile and just like,
naturally happy.
We're these morning happy people.
Thank God for them. Thank God for this one. Because I'm just like, oh yeah, we should be happy.
I wake up to a mantra every morning. I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, more fit than I was yesterday. Every single morning for years. I've never missed a morning. Even when we travel, I'll text it to her first thing when I wake up.
So I copy paste.
Yeah.
That's good. Wow. That's good. You text it to her.
Yep. I mean, when we travel, even then I'll text it the first thing I do when I wake up.
That's beautiful.
I think there's so much importance in choosing the set of lenses you want to see the morning through. Because if you control your morning, you control your day. If you control your day, you can control your week and so on.
Is that why Lori's a mess?
Sometimes we'll be like, we woke up today. Like that's the best way to wake up is just to like, I don't know. I think the cheesiest stuff sometimes works.
It works.
Best.
Yeah. It gets you out of whatever you're into. Good. Yeah, it gets you out of that funk or that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's talking about relationships. Our fathers were very important relationships for each of us. And your father's an important relationship for you. I don't want to leave him out. And what we have in common is we both lost our father too early. Mm-hmm. What is something in your greatness mindset? What is something in this book that your father would be so proud that you're passing on that maybe he passed on to you?
Good question. You said, can I say the number or whatever? I'm going to be 40 in, I guess it's a few weeks. He never celebrated the numbers when we hit our birthdays, which in the beginning of my life, I didn't understand because I was like, well, everyone else is having presents and cakes, but we aren't celebrating me. I was like, do you not love me? He said, I love you very much, but I don't want you to be limited by your age.
Wow.
And so he didn't celebrate any of our birthdays. And it wasn't because he didn't love us, because he actually showed us love and affection. My parents didn't do it that well with each other, but he showed it often and consistently in a lot of different ways. And he said, I never want you to feel like you're too young to go after a dream or too old to do something. And a lot of times that's what people do. They let their age dictate what they're capable of creating in the world or doing or not doing. And I never want you to think you're too young or too old to go after your dreams. So for me, that was a beautiful, but I was like, Dad, you can still buy me a cake. But for me, that was a beautiful lesson that has stayed with me. Because I actually kind of get awkward when it's my birthday because it was never celebrated.
Yeah.
So when people try to celebrate it, I get to learn to keep receiving and be like, yes, let's celebrate. But I don't want to celebrate a number. Mm. It's more of like, I want to celebrate my way of being. Mm. You know, okay, have I been showing up consistently generous, loving, kind, and in service? Mm-hmm. If so, let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate the community we've built. Let's celebrate life in general, but not I've made it this far. And so I try to just emphasize, and I think that's why I still have a lot of like just childlike energy. Mm-hmm. I just kind of act like a kid a lot, which I think because I never focused on the number. Mm-hmm. And I never thought like I need to start acting a different way. Now, obviously, I have responsibilities and things like that, but I've tried to have a childlike heart. And I think he passed that along by not focusing on like, okay, another year knocked off, like you're getting a little older. It's just like, no, you can do anything at any time if you don't limit yourself. And so that was a beautiful lesson. What was something he taught you?
Shout out to Dad. That's cool. Yeah. For mine, he was the eternal optimist and he was always positive and he never complained.
Never heard
Lori and I have sat else. Down.
Never, 20
and
years,
we've
never.
Tried to think of one time that we saw, even like, I'm tired or anything, nothing.
Man,
not a single But that's become, if I relate it to a greatness mindset, something that I strive to build that muscle. Yeah. And I am nowhere near building that muscle yet, but we're conscious of it and we work at it and we call each other out when we complain now. And we'll say things like, hey, Dad never complained once. Like,
that's pretty big.
Yeah, it was one of the best gifts he's ever given me and by default her.
Something we, you know, as an athlete on sports teams, a lot of the great coaches that I've met, they cared about, yes, they wanted talented players, but they cared more about attitude, energy, and effort and how you responded to challenging situations. If you had your head down and you didn't run back, or if you were like, I'm just going to run back and give them my best, even when I make a mistake. And that's what I look for people on my team and in my life is like, mm-hmm. Do you have attitude, energy, and effort? We can teach skills. Yeah. But I think it was either Steve Jobs or it was Elon Musk. I think it was Elon Musk who said like one of the biggest mistakes, I'm paraphrasing, is hiring for talent and not for like culture fit.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I hired too many nasty people they were so gifted and talented, but it just created a cancer within things. And it caused more stress on me navigating and dealing with it. So I'd much rather have a less talented person on my team with incredibly good attitude, energy, and effort towards life and work on building their skills up. So
I love that.
Yeah, that impacts you.
It does.
Life-changing for you.
Yeah.
So.
In the title of the book, I guess I'd call this a subtitle, Unlock the Power of Your Mind and Live Your Best Life Today. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 100 years from now when you're at the end of your life. How will you know you've lived your best life? Like, what would be the tangible evidence?
I saw a guy who was like in his 80s or 90s, like the super wealthy, like billionaire guy, talk about like what is success at that age. Mm-hmm. And he said that my kids don't want to hang out with me.
Oh. We talk about that.
Yeah.
And I think that just came to me when you asked that. Like the people that I've impacted and been around in my life, they want to hang out with me genuinely because of my heart, not because of what I've created in life. I think that will be something I'm really proud of and something that I'll be like, man, I did it right, you know?
I love that. Yeah. That's incredible. I love that. Pitch the book. Who's it for? Who'd you write it for?
This was for me. I wrote this book for me, stuck, struggling, trying to figure out life, trying to navigate the pain and the not enoughness inside of me. And so whatever season you're at, if you feel like there's something holding you back, if there's some fear or self-doubt holding you back, I just want to let you know that you're not alone. And a lot of people struggle with the same type of fear and insecurity. And I wanted to, this has been 10 years of research for me, finding the top neuroscientists, brain surgeons, emotional therapists, coaches, and leaders in the field of understanding the emotions on their wisdom and my mistakes and lessons on how to navigate it with a little bit more ease. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but I want to give people a better process that I wish I had 10 years ago when I was really struggling. So that's what this is about. That's who it's for. And I'm grateful for you guys for having me on.
I love that.
So grateful.
I want to do a little giveaway, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. The first 100 people that listen to this episode that will tag all three of us, Lewis, Lori, and I, with their favorite takeaway, something they learned or something that was of impact to them, we and our team will buy and send them one of these books.
Appreciate it.
Just want to be able to get as many hands as possible, because this really is a book about greatness, you know, and we need more people to live into their greatness out there.
Yeah, we're so, honestly, I don't know where, I'm sure we would have found our way, Lewis, but you really helped a lot. Mm. And so much of what is in that book is what we've been able to adopt from you. And just thinking about all the people we've been able to impact because you've impacted us is just so amazing. We're so grateful for you. Truly.
I'll close by saying this. You always wrap your episodes up with, you know, speaking words of affirmation into people. And I want everybody listening to know that what they see in you when you're connecting people and giving up of your own self to lift other people up and all that, it's as real and genuine and way more than actually meets the eye. And that's the real human being that you are. Mm. And I want everybody to know that that is the extraordinary person that you show up as every day.
Appreciate you both. I'm so grateful for both of you.
All right, you guys, we're so grateful for you. Give Lewis a shout out. Make sure you tag the three of us and we'll send you a book. We're so excited. And until next time, we will see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Want to know a huge secret to my success? Okay, not only my success, but just about every single person that I have interviewed on this podcast who is successful has this in common. You guys, they love to journal. They capture their life lessons and what they're grateful for. But a lot of people don't keep this up consistently. And most people do know that the research shows that journaling deepens your gratitude and increases self-awareness. But did you also know that journaling decreases stress and helps you achieve your goals faster? In fact, journaling is a huge differentiator between average performers at work and high-performing people. It leads to longer-term clarity, confidence, and success. So why don't more people journal? Why didn't I journal consistently? Honestly, they don't like staring at a blank page. It's hard to carry a book around with you or a notepad, and they just don't even know what to write about, or they just forget. That's why I know that you're going to love Growth Day. It's the world's number one system for self-improvement, and it's like all-in-one personal development in an app. And it has an awesome digital journal, and people love it. Growth Day's digital journal has hundreds of research-backed writing prompts for self-reflection, positive mindset, confidence building, and success. I use them all the time, and it makes me think in ways that I typically don't, and it makes me ask myself better questions, which we all know gets better results in our life. It even has prompts that help you develop a daily, weekly, or monthly habit of reflecting on your life and identifying areas to grow. So it's a perfect time of year to start journaling, you guys. When you sign up at Growth Day, you also get systems for habit tracking, goal setting, and scoring, and improving every area of your life. Best of all, I get to teach there too, you guys. I'm so excited. I hope that I get to see you. I teach live in Growth Day every single month with a new topic just for you. So join me there. Start your free trial at growthday.com/Lori. Hey, I know if you're listening to this podcast that you have big dreams and big goals. And one of the things that can really stop you is struggling with your marketing. Trust me, I have been there. Are you using 10 different systems just to build your online business? Then I want you to try Kajabi. Kajabi helps you build your web pages, set up funnels, and sell your courses, content, coaching, or communities. You've been hearing me talk a lot about funnels on this podcast and the importance of your email list. You can get a free trial at Kajabi.com. That's Kajabi.com.
I've talked about Kajabi before, but here's something that's super cool and new. They just rolled out an AI assistant for creating your online course curriculum. And this means you just type in a topic that you want to create on a course or webinar and bam, it just generates a sample outline for you. It takes a ton of the hard work away. Of course, you're going to customize it to be your own, but this really helps you get over the struggle of how in the world to start, which is where most people stop. If you're like me, starting is always the hardest part, and that's what makes Kajabi so popular. They've made it easier for creators to build web pages, build courses, build coaching programs, build membership sites, build checkout pages, and build email funnels. So if you're struggling with any of those, you gotta go check it out. Go to kajabi.com. Kajabi was really the first all-in-one system and is trusted by over 100,000 creators. I think that's good enough for me. Also, as influencers and marketers who use this. And now their smart AI platform makes it easy to take what you know and turn it into an online course and business. Go start building with a free trial at kajabi.com. That's K-A-J-A-B-I.com.